You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another exciting episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
Oh, my name is Rob. This is episode 669. I'm actually really excited about this episode.
Me too. It's a good number.
Damn. Oh boy. Anywho, it's just, I don't know. Why grow up, right?
That's right. You got to children in heart, right? Isn't that how it goes?
I don't want to grow up. Go something like that. Anyways, no, I'm really excited about it because it's something that people have been asking us about. Oh, how long have we been Drone You? Almost, I don't know, over 3 years.
Is it 3 years? Like, legitimately, question.
Just about. It's almost 3 years, yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, so people have been asking us about this for a long, 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 long time, and I'm glad that we can actually finally answer them. And not that we couldn't answer them before, but you've been able to spend more time with the subject matter, and actually, it's kind of good news, I think.
Yeah, definitely. But before we get into today's question, which is brought to you by the Drone You community, today we're actually going to be talking about a new vehicle that has come out that has really answered a lot of the questions or concerns, I guess you could say, from drone pilots around the country. And we have been getting this question quite a bit. And we like to showcase different vehicles. We like to showcase different companies because we think that competition is ultimately a good thing as it drives the market forward overall. So I think it is a great thing. And we have some news for you that we're very excited to share. But also, this question is brought to you by our friends at the Drone You community. If you're not a member, check it out. All the classes right now are included in one low monthly price, and the content just keeps going and going and going. Coming soon is the light painting class with Vic Moss. Learn how to fly lights and loom cubes on your drone to take really incredible shots for real estate. If you're trying to really gain a particular client or you want to do a really cool shot for like a celebrity home, then you're going to want to watch this class. We actually shot this class at the Randy Travis Ranch in Santa Fe. It was awesome.
What time of night did you do that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, we got out there kind of right as the sun was setting, set everything up. And by the way, this was all done under a nighttime or a daytime waiver. I hate how they called it daytime waiver.
Know,
it's like
so
you're flying at night.
Counterintuitive.
Not
yeah,
day.
But anyways,
anyway.
But you're getting, yeah.
Anyway, so we got out there. I would say that we started shooting around 8:30 or so.
But basically the sun was down is what I'm getting at. It's called night.
It's called painting. Light painting.
Light painting.
Yeah.
But it's nighttime.
Maybe we should call it night light painting.
There you go.
You just coined a new term for it. But when you see the image that comes out of this class, it's incredible.
It really is.
It's something I didn't even know that you could do. And I'm just so excited to really do that. And, you know, someone was asking just about, well, we mentioned it in the community, and we were also mentioning the new DJI camera that's coming out. And people were just like asking fundamental questions about photography. And I've just noticed that a lot of our members haven't taken Vic Moss's aerial photography class. And I know a lot of you think you know a lot about photography. And I think that it's so important to remember that lifelong learning is the key to the endless competitive advantage. It's the idea that you're always growing on your creative your creative attributes, the things that you can bring to the table. And in Vic's class, he really does such a good job of explaining so many different aspects of aerial photography, like auto exposure bracketing. And sometimes he stacks the photos and sometimes he doesn't stack the photos. Sometimes he just picks the best photo that he wants based off of how the histogram looks. There's just so much that you can really learn from him. And if you are a member and you're listening to this, make sure you watch that class. It's just so important. And also, we will be doing a new Don't Crash course on the unique Typhoon H520. But one of the pieces that I'm actually going to pull out of that class and put into the Drone You community for you guys that are members is I've noticed that a lot of you break one of the three rules of takeoff and landing. So I want to make sure that you guys are all following that. If you've done an in-person training with us, which will soon be available, hopefully by the end of the year, our in-person trainings will be available all over the country thanks to Drone U Elite and the new Drone U Practical Guide to Flying, which is systematic means of learning how to fly based off of training now. I know we've only been open for 3 years, but I've been training for 5, which is pretty cool because of my work at UXV and because of my work at NAB. And I think that this is just quintessentially the deepest information that anyone can learn about flying drones. Even if you've been flying drones for like 2 or 3 years, I think that there is something that you could learn from this.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, for
sure. Anyway, so this question brought to you by the community. Also brought to you by the Drone U landing pad. If you haven't checked out a landing pad, make sure to check out the website. I'm going to put the link in this show because I know it's been hard to find. That's because we had an issue with our website and it's fixed now, but I want to make sure you guys have the link to that.
It is in the show notes of the last show as well, but we'll put it in this one. We'll just keep it in there for a while.
Let's do that. But anyway, guys, thanks again. And let's go ahead and play that question.
By the way, I'm just going to let y'all know this question's a little bit old, but I don't know, we thought it was worthy of answering now. So here we go.
Hello, Rob and Paul. This is your friend Pavlos from Greece. And first off, I'd like to congratulate you on your book, Living the Drone Life. I read it over Christmas and it's amazing, and I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to get involved with drones. My question now is regarding unique drones. I know that DJI is far ahead, especially with their new Phantom 4 Pro and the Inspire 2. But should anyone consider buying a unique drone such as the Tornado or the Typhoon? I know that they have not discovered the smart batteries, which is awkward, but should anyone consider buying one instead of DJI? Anyway, thank you guys. Drone U is awesome. I was a member for a couple of months last year, and I really appreciate the value of the content that there is in your platform. Thank you very much and keep the great work. I'm listening every day to your podcast and can't wait for the next one. Bye.
I just love hearing when people are like, I read your book and I really enjoyed it, because that just makes me happy, because so much work went into that. And even with the publisher, they made me change a few things that I wasn't like super stoked on and I didn't quite agree with. But I'm just so happy that people are enjoying it and people really find value in it. And you know, Rob, I think for this next giveaway, when we give away this membership on the 700th episode of Ask Drone U, that we should give away a Living the Drone Life book.
Yep.
We should give away a study guide, a landing pad, and a membership.
I think that'd be fun.
Just give them a package.
Yeah, let's do it. So if you haven't gotten your question in, you might want to do that.
Definitely want to do that. Go to askdroneu.com and upload that question. So a couple things. Number one, we do have the unique Typhoon H520. I have flown the other unique drones, and I think that the Typhoon H520 is far and beyond better than any other unique drone that I've ever flown. The unique Typhoon H520 has so many amazing features that I really like. And let me just go kind of systematically through them. I'm going to show you some footage of this. But the Typhoon H520 is different from the Typhoon H in a few ways. Number one, it's bigger. Number two, the batteries are a little bit different as well. They're high voltage batteries. The batteries are balanced, which is, you know, people were saying they're not smart batteries. They are smart batteries now. And I actually flew one yesterday, did a live stream, and we have one here at the studio. We're going to be doing some classes on them. And when I flew it yesterday, I was getting 22 minutes of flight time at 5,300 feet in elevation. That's not my flying elevation. That was ground elevation. So, you know,
important clarification.
Definitely.
I was flying.
Oh, not even going to say that. I want someone to clip it and take it out of context. But you know, they advertise 28 minutes of flight time with the E50 camera, which is a 40 degree field of view, 12 megapixel, I think it's an Ambarella sensor, which you guys are familiar with the Phantom 3 and Phantom 4. Pretty much the same sensor, but with a 40 degree field of view, you can actually get more. It's almost like zoom is kind of how I would put it. And if you're doing mapping, it can actually be really, really helpful. But they also have the E90 camera, which is a 1-inch Exmor sensor from Sony. And I have been extremely impressed by it so far.
That's the one that you're flying right now?
Yes, the Typhoon H520. That is correct. So we got 22 minutes of flight time. They say you get 25 minutes of flight time if you're at sea level and you're flying the E90. So the fact that we only lost 3 minutes of flight time, which it was aggressive flying too. It wasn't like we're just letting it hover and testing how long it could actually fly for. Because let's be honest, how useful is that really? Do you ever just take your drone up and let it hover and say, well, I wonder how long it can fly for? You know, like, who cares? Like,
well, yeah, I suppose Unique does that at their testing grounds, but that's probably
about
it.
And so does DJI, and so does
all the manufacturers.
So does 3DR. 3DR may be doing it with the string attached to help pull it up a little bit, but anyway.
Oh, jeez. That's harsh.
But anyway, what I wanted to say was, you know, with the new 1-inch sensor, you are getting the same, if not better, dynamic range than you would with even a Phantom 4 Pro. So I love the Phantom 4 Pro because it's amazing for mapping. And I think that the Unique H520 is actually even better for mapping. And here's why. It's got a rock solid GPS hold, so it's extremely accurate. Mm-hmm. The fact that it has 6 blades instead of 4, you've got another point of redundancy. So if you actually do snap one blade, if you do break one arm off, you can land the drone. Now, the tornado pattern, when you fly, if you've taken the Drone U class, you know what the tornado pattern is, why it's important. You can actually land the H520 drone with only 5 working arms, which is really awesome because, as you guys know, if you lose one blade with a quadcopter, you lose the whole drone. There's no recovery. There's no trying to land it. Like, you're done. So right. I really like that. Number two, what I also like about the Unique H520 is that it's got a built-in screen. You know, a lot of people say, well, that remote looks really, really big. But the screen is, instead of being above the remote, it's in between the controls, which for some people is a little different. And it's even different for me. And I've been getting used to it. But I actually like having it there.
Yeah.
So
it seems handy. It is a big remote.
It looks like you're flying a Predator. Like, you could literally put that thing on a desk with a big monitor, and it looks like you're in, you know, one of the boxes that you're flying a Predator.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have a joystick, but, you know, anyway. So it is a big remote, but the great thing about it is it's got replaceable batteries. Mm. So if you're like me and you're flying all day long, whether it's trainings, whether it's flying for surfing and doing live streaming, the fact that you can actually swap batteries off the remote is really cool. I love that. You know, people asked about the effective range of the machine. The effective range of the machine is definitely not as far as you would get with the Phantom 4 Pro. It doesn't have, you know, OcuSync and all the advanced features that, you know, the DJI Bird has. But you're still getting extremely good range out of it. So I flew it, I think it was... I don't really want to say how far.
Well, the bottom line is you've got to be line of sight anyways.
Yeah, and you can definitely fly at line of sight, which, you know, some people say is like 1,500, 2,000 feet, which you can totally do that and not lose the signal whatsoever.
Right.
Also, the latency of the signal, there, when you fire the bird up, you'll notice as the controller gets fired up, you notice a little bit of latency, but when you're flying, there is no latency, which is a big deal for me. So... going back to inspections and mapping, what I also love is two things. Number one, there is no transmission of data over cellular, over Wi-Fi, over anything. It's all encapsulated into your remote, which I really love. It's an American-made flight controller. It's actually a 3D robotics flight controller, believe it or not. So they're, you know, making everything in China, but it is an American-made flight controller. So I think that's really cool.
Which is something that 3DR has done very well at over the years, right? That the software side and...
Yeah, that's debatable. Some people would say, yes, that's totally right. Other people would say no. But what I do like about the Pixhawk 2 is that, I mean, you can make a Rover, you can make a Y6, you can make an X8, you can make an X12. Right. Like, you could, yeah.
And you would choose to use it for that.
Yeah, totally. So what I also like about the Bird is that it is extremely quiet. I mean, when I mean extremely quiet, Rob, I mean, if we're down at the field and we're on the other side of the field, you cannot hear the drone.
That's wild.
No, it's great because it means that pesky public individuals, civilians, as you would call them, are not going to have their ears perk up when they hear, you know, your Inspire 2 kick on. You know, like it's not.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't have that.
Relative
to
an Inspire, yeah.
Well, even relative to a Phantom, it's about. I need to get a decibel reader and actually do a video on this because it is so quiet. It's ridiculous.
So. If I can move into this, how did it handle relative? It's a little bit bigger and bulkier, so it's probably I don't know. Just how did it handle?
So that is a really good question. And by the way, the controls on being able to set like the gains and being able to set the sensitivity, there's a sensitivity bar essentially or slider on the back of the remote, and you can set it to really slow or you can set it to really fast. And when you're in really slow, it's extremely precise. So if you're trying to do mapping and you're using, say, Pix4D Capture, which, by the way, you can download onto the tablet. You can download your maps onto the tablet before you even leave the office.
That's cool.
And you can even download the maps that you want to do off of your computer and throw an SD card into the tablet itself and just have it pick up the mapping mission from there, which I think is even cooler. Although I would never do that. I'm just so used to using the Pix4D app. But as far as it handles, you know, it's not as agile as a Phantom 4 Pro. But in all honesty, I don't see many people being able to put a Phantom 4 Pro into a stall, which, as you know, I can do regularly. And it's kind of fun.
Well, but I can do it too, but then it crashes. That's not what you're talking about?
No.
Okay, my bad.
I'm talking about putting it into a full stall at like 50 feet and then catching it at 25 feet.
I know what
feet.
You're talking about.
So not physically catching it, but you guys get what I'm saying. Anyway, I will say though, it's still fast. I got it up to 45 miles an hour yesterday. Which is actually a little bit faster than what they claim it'll do. And again, it's not as agile as a Phantom 4 Pro, but I'm not sure that many people would be able to notice that, because I just don't see people pushing, unless you're Jim Noss or unless you're the father-son team that won the obstacle course.
Yeah.
You're not pushing that bird as hard as it'll go. I promise you.
Those boys could fly.
Yeah, that was awesome. You know what, though? The reason they won is because they were really smart about their turns. They didn't blow out the turns. And even John McBride said that to me afterwards. He was like, they were so systematic about how they flew through the obstacle course. He's like, I can't wait for next year. Like, literally, I can't wait for that fly-in next year.
They motivated him, didn't they?
Yeah.
I love it. So as it handles, would you use it for subject tracking, a surfer or something, and you're on the boat?
Totally usable for that. It's
okay.
Totally fast enough to do surfing. It's totally fast enough to even do subject tracking, I would say, usably up to 30 miles an hour. But what I like about it is it's more stable than a P4 Pro because it is a hexacopter.
Right.
So even if you're in windy conditions, you're going to get more stability than what you would out of a Phantom. So if you're using a Phantom 4 Pro for mapping, you may want to look into the unique Typhoon H520 because you're going to get more stability. You're going to get a better GPS hold. It's rock solid. But on top of that, a couple other things. Number one, there is no geofencing and there are no TFRs. It is up to you as the pilot to do your due diligence before you go out and fly to make sure you can fly these areas, which for a lot of Brian, who's one of our students, works for National Park Service. When they're doing their inspections, that was a big deal, is that they would get essentially, you know, issues with what says we're flying in a no-fly zone, but like we have express permission to fly here.
Right.
And people were having trouble, you know, having that yet. EAA, they had an issue with it. We had an issue with it because that data is actually pulled from AirMap, and there was a ghost TFR at Coors Field, which we'll be flying Coors Field again with the Phase 1 100 megapixel sensor to do some real extreme mapping. Mm-hmm. Very excited about that.
No, we get that a lot where people, as far as they can tell, they should be able to fly, but that geofencing is keeping them from flying.
Yeah,
in
most cases, the commercial pilots have the authorizations to fly,
mm-hmm.
and that's really frustrating. I know DJI has definitely gotten better at allowing for these last-minute authorizations to clear out stuff, but there are still some issues. Like, for example, one issue that I had with my Phantom yesterday is that now, because I don't have updated firmware, it's telling me I'm limited to 30 and 50 meters, which is really not cool. In fact, there's questions on whether that's legal or not. So I'm actually going to go in and change the ability for my drone to even check to see if there's firmware updates. So, and that's why I don't want to update my Phantom, because as soon as I do, I can't put it in developer mode and change all the parameters to what I want.
Yeah, so the lesson there is don't just run out and do your firmware update. Figure out what it's about. Find somebody who did it and maybe shouldn't have and learn from their experience.
Which again is another benefit to this unique drone, because the only way it does firmware updates is if you go into a separate app and say check for firmware updates.
Mm.
So no TFRs, which, by the way, if there's a TFR, you should not fly unless you have express written permission. But there are no geofencing. So if you're flying the unique Typhoon H520, which there is geofencing from what I hear in the unique Typhoon H, but not the 520, because it's a commercial grade product. And I guess they have some sort of vetting process for that, which I think is really good. But also the price of the Typhoon H, it's $19.99 for the bird itself. There are different camera platforms that you can pick for different price points. I've only been flying the E90 because that's the one that really excites me, because for mapping, you need that extreme detail. Mm-hmm. And we actually did finish our mapping course yesterday. I wanted to redo the orbit section just because I wanted to showcase people the differences between DJI Go 4 and using something like Pix 4D capture in free flight mode. Which, again, if you're using the Phantom 4 Pro and you never open up DJI Go, you're using some sort of other application, notice you never get those errors about you're limited to flight if you don't do a firmware upgrade, or you're limited to flight because of this. I even tried yesterday to sign out of my account and sign back in to see if that worked. And it said you're limited to 50 meters and 30 meters. Hmm. But the thing is because I think because my bird was in Imperial mode. So Imperial meaning it's in feet, it's in, you know, what is it called? Inches and all that. And it's in miles per hour and speed. I was able to go way beyond 50 meters and 30 meters. So even though
it just circumvented it almost.
I'm not 100% positive because I wasn't able to fully test it and sit here and confidently say that's what happened.
Right.
But it said you're limited to 50 and 30 meters, and I was not limited to 50 and 30 meters.
That's interesting. So another question I have about this is, who is this drone for? So if you've got somebody who still wants to kind of break into the drone life, so to speak, and start with real estate, and then see what happens. Is this drone for them?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think if you're doing photos, it's definitely a great drone for photos. It has full control of the camera. It's very user-friendly. It's very easy. It's got a lot of safety features built into it. What I also like about the Unique is that you can just systematically turn off and turn on obstacle avoidance with just a flick of a switch on the remote.
Hmm.
And I think that's really cool, because
cool.
if you're like, well, I need to fly through this obstacle, off, you know?
Yeah.
And now, well, what if it goes in return to home, on?
That is really smart and logical.
Yes.
Thank
a
you
lot
for
of
that.
These designs, a lot of these designs that you're seeing in the H520 are very logical, and they're definitely built for a more competent user.
Mm-hmm. A sophisticated user, yeah.
Yeah. So just a quick review, I was getting 22 minutes of flight time at 5,300 feet in elevation. Again, that was ground elevation, not 5,300 feet in the air. And on top of that, it was very stable in the wind, extremely stable in the wind. It's agile, but not as agile as a Phantom 4 Pro. And for mapping, I really do think it is a better solution for mapping because of the rock solid hold. I haven't run too many maps on it yet. I plan on doing that this weekend. But if you're into inspection works, if you're into public safety, if you're doing mapping missions, this drone is definitely for you. And here's why I say that, because it's got its own mapping software. In DataPilot, you can actually run a map. You can do a crosshatch mission. You can set the angle of the map, which is really important, because if you want more detail, doing a 70 or 60 degree angle on the drone or on the gimbal gives you much better data than just doing a straight nadir shot. That's really important. But here's the big deal. With Pix 4D, you can only run on one battery. You cannot continue a mission. And you can't like pop in another battery and continue a mission on Pix 4D.
Oh, wow. Huh.
So, but with Unique's Data Pilot app, you can. So you could actually do very large area maps, like huge area maps, not huge, but huge area maps. The thing is that it's actually really useful. I've been very happily surprised by this thing.
That's really cool.
And I'm enjoying flying it. It's actually a lot of fun. So back to your question, is it for someone doing real estate? And I said no, because I'm thinking of like video. You know, Douglas Spotted Eagle was saying, you know, it's not really a cinematography drone. And I understand why he says that, because of the agile nature of the beast.
Exactly.
But, you know, the fact that you can switch into manual mode, they call it manual mode, it's just like attitude mode, right on, you know, the remote, that's very useful, because on the old Typhoons and on the old Unique stuff, you couldn't do that. So I think that's really cool that you can do that. It does fly very smoothly in attitude mode. It is very responsive, not as responsive. It would be more difficult to get really, really smooth video out of it mm-hmm. than a Phantom 4 Pro, but you could totally do it, like no problem. I mean, if you're a competent user and you're having issues with errors and firmware updates and all that, this is definitely a very, very good alternative, especially if you're doing anything with mapping, which, you know, we've talked about where is the industry going. Cinematography is definitely saturated, but the guys who have focused on their quality and they focus on treating clients right, man, you guys are definitely still getting good business. In fact, there's a guy, Luis Cardenas, who is shooting for a whole month in Hawaii because of his quality. But I talked to a producer that he worked with recently, and she's like, I just loved how much he loved his job. And I loved how much he would just...
That's cool.
It was fun to be around him. It was fun to work with him. And he was just a really good guy. And we try to work with people like that. When you get into film, when you get into the film industry, you find that that's not normal.
Yeah, you're going against the stream when that is who you are, but it's good.
Yeah, it is.
It's good.
It is very good. So anyway, if you're in mapping, you're doing any mapping for construction, if you're doing mapping for inspection work, let's say cell phone tower inspection, utility inspection, let's say you're doing mapping for fields and agriculture, I really think this is an amazing drone for it. I'm impressed. The other thing I didn't even talk about is the camera can move. You know, everyone says, oh, it's a 360 camera. Think of it like a 1080 camera, because it can just keep spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. It doesn't ever stop. It doesn't have like an end point. So I think that's really cool. And you can also control the spin with a knob. So if you're not used to using your finger like on DJI and you're more of like a knobs guy because you've got like bigger fingers and whatnot, I've got small fingers. So anyway, if you're, shut up. if you're you want to use knobs and whatnot, the Unique has that. But also the Unique has this really cool thing with tilt. And you can actually set three different ways to control the tilt speed, which I think is actually cool. I'm not used to it yet. I like the DJI.
Well, you've been flying DJI for a long time, so you get used to a certain platform, but doesn't mean there's not one that's as good or perhaps even better. What about third-party apps? Obviously, you mentioned Pix4D. But...
Yes, it does use. It does have the capability of using third-party apps. So if any third-party app that uses Android platform, you can download onto the remote directly. So again, if you're a heavy phone user and you don't have a lot of space on your phone, good news for you, you can just download these apps right onto the remote itself, which I think, again, is really cool thing. So, and you can also control when it has data.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
That still hasn't been corrected, if I can use that term, on the P4 Pro, right?
You have to use your phone or an iPad or...
Right, but you can't use their screen when you buy it with their screen.
Correct. When you buy the Crystal Sky, you cannot download third-party apps.
So that still hasn't been changed.
No.
Yeah.
So, which the Crystal Sky is like almost necessary for the M210, which we're ready to buy that M210. They're in full go mode. So
I guess it's time, Paul.
Well, I guess it's time since we're doing all these inspection classes.
No, absolutely.
Now,
yeah. So. No, we want to get that education out to people for sure.
Gosh, the number of classes, I'm sitting here getting nervous because I'm like, I've got to redo the comp course. I've got
to
do
a crash course
on the Unique. I need to do one on this drone. So, but anyway, overall, I will say that, like, you know, I've talked about some of the issues with the Solo R10C in the drone community, like the fact that the payload was way too heavy for the drone. The flight time was a joke. And overall, it wasn't that much better of a mapping platform. The Unique is the opposite of the R10C. Great flight times, killer rock solid GPS hold, ability to use third party apps, great camera control, even better camera control than most mapping applications. Here's why. Pix4D, when you do a cross-hatching mission or Maps Made Easy in a cross-hatching mission, you cannot control the ISO of the camera, the exposure of the camera, or anything to that sort. With DataPilot, you can. So if you don't have the right day to do mapping, the right weather, which we all know how important that is when you're doing mapping, you can set your camera accordingly to get much better data. And with Pix4D Capture, you can set white balance, sunny or cloudy, but you can't actually set a white balance, like if I want to set it at 6,000 Kelvin and keep it at 6,000 Kelvin, which if you guys are mapping, you know why this is important. You can get different hue colors in certain buildings and whatnot. Half your building will show up red and half of it will show up magenta. You know, and unless you're doing a show for Pitch Perfect, it's probably not a good idea. So,
which probably most aren't.
Yeah. But anyway, I love the platform for mapping. It's definitely going to have some steep competition, you know, with the new cameras coming out.
Which is great.
Yeah, I'm sure DJI is not going to be happy hearing me do this episode. And I'm okay with that because what I love is that there is competition in the market. So it's going to further push Unique. It's going to further push DJI. And in the end, who wins? You, the listener, the drone pilot. So
Kudos. I just want to say kudos to Unique for just pushing through the challenges and it was seemingly a situation where DJI had just, they had taken off and it was over. Mm-hmm. And the Unique folks obviously said, nope.
Say not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, don't count them chickens. They ain't hatched.
And gosh, there's so many, like, if we talk about the Unique selling points of Unique over Phantom 4 Pro, number one, the firmware issue, DJI, you have got to change that. That is a problem. The geofencing, obviously I understand geofencing for a lot of everyday pilots is an issue, which again, the Typhoon H does have geofencing, Typhoon H520 does not. So it is definitely made for commercial pilots, but that whole geofencing issue and the ghost TFRs and all that, that is definitely a problem with the DJI platform right now, and I hope they fix that. On top of that, the fact that you're getting great flight times and that you have more control of the camera and mapping platforms definitely pushes the Unique Typhoon H ahead of the Phantom 4 Pro for mapping, which two weeks ago, I was saying Phantom 4 Pro is still the mapping king. Not anymore.
Wow. Big day.
Yeah, sorry. I just like rambled for 30 minutes, I feel like.
Well, I hope it's useful information. I mean, I think a lot of people have been wondering, is this a legitimate drone? And it sounds like it definitely is.
I love it. I need to reach out to Rick at Go Professional Cases to make sure that he's got a good case for it, because they sent me a Pelican and I'm just not a fan of Pelicans. So Jason used to say, Jason Beige, Pelicans are the greatest thing ever made. And then he got his hands on some GPC cases and he's like, these things are rock solid. I'm like, yes, they are. They're awesome. But even better, I love the thought that goes into them. By the way, guys, if you're looking for a GPC case, don't forget to use offer code or discount code DRONEU15. And another thing that I'm realizing as I get into mapping is just how important the multi-port chargers are. And I'm not talking like, you know, DJI has their chronological, I call it, a multi-port charger, but that only charges one battery at a time. You guys have got to check out ColoradoDroneChargers.com and use the discount code DRONEU8. That's all lowercase, DRONEU8. For a discount code, because if you're a serious pilot, you really need one of those chargers. I mean, I cannot tell you how often I have been using his charger, and I'm so happy that John from Colorado Drone Chargers reached out to us, because his product is awesome. Like, it is rock solid. It's actually bulletproof. No joke. It's bulletproof. they use ballistic material for those chargers.
Yeah, what I love about this story is that when we first saw the charger, we thought,
I was like, what in the hell?
I remember your
first
reaction.
Ain't nobody got time for this.
I know. So you got to give things a chance. Try them out.
Yes, you got to be humble. That's a good lesson for me.
Well, for all of us. So. Anyways.
Anyway, guys, well, that is going to do it for us today. Again, GPC, check out their cases, goprofessionalcases.com. Offer code DRONEU15, Colorado Drone Chargers. I'm telling you, you guys have got to check them out. I really believe in their product. And their discount code is DRONEU8. Check them out. But anyway, guys, if you have a question, go to AskDRONEU.com and let us know. And thank you for the reviews. Thank you for taking the time for the reviews. It has helped other people find this show. We're actually up over 25,000 downloads in the last, I think it's 2 weeks. So that's really good. Please continue doing that. That really, really does help us. In fact, if you leave a review and you become a member in the DRONEU community, maybe I'll send you a book if you reach out to me. Maybe. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. No promises, but I'd like to. anyway. So, Rob, I just put some more work on your plate. Sorry.
You know what? I don't mind doing that at all, actually. It's really easy.
Okay, cool. Well, then let's keep doing it. Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.